I enjoyed the reading of the word this morning, and I was seeking in my head shortcuts that I'm assuming, and this is a big assumption, that given that I've been watching you, you've been talking about marketplace, I've been checking you. So I figured they must have read the book of Daniel. Is that true? Okay, that's enough answer. I needed you not to be saying, yes, we have. Because if you said, yes, we have, then I'll feel more intimidated. So the fact that you are saying you're not so sure, I'm going to subject you to reading the whole book of Daniel. No, I mean, one chapter of Daniel. We're going to read Daniel chapter 1 together. And I'm going to do so without fear, because I know in this church, everything that is left, every rock that is not moved shall be moved. That's the beauty of it. So I am coming here with, forget the intimidation I told you about. No, I'm at home now, right? I'm amongst you now, so forget the intimidation. So in the book of Daniel together, and we're only going back to the book of Daniel because we have taken principles out of this book, apply them, and in fact, I would say to you, the book of Daniel, it is part of the foundation of our understanding of marketplace. Yes. Unless you understand the book of Daniel, you'll partly understand the story of Joseph. You'll partly understand the story of others who are singular. But in the book of Daniel, you see a company of those who served in an environment that is not conducive, yet they represented Christ. So, allow me to read with you so that at least we have the same context. I see you've got the NASB, which is beautiful. So, if I go off the line, then you will know I'm in a different translation. So, Book of Daniel reads as follows. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And when the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand. When we have time, we'll have to unpack that part. Who has ability to serve in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. And the king immediately, if you would, appointed to them daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank. You should tell your neighbor, you are what you eat. And 3 years of training for them, and that at the end of the time, they might serve before the king. So there's a graduation that happens. Now, from amongst those sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Among them were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I need to hold back because there's anger that arises in me when I get here. So I need to calm down. It's Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those are their names. I'll get to it. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, or Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, he gave Shadrach. To Mishael, he gave Meshach. To Azariah, he gave Abednego. Oh, now you remember who I'm talking about. Because you know them by those names, isn't it? May the Lord convict you. And may you repent. I gave you their names. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill with the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men of your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. My head is on the block here. Yeah. So Daniel said to the steward, of whom the chief of eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And please, this is not Daniel's fast. Then let our appearance, because I don't know how you're going to fast and then appear to be more fatter. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portions of the king's delicacies as you see fit. So deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better, fatter in the flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus, the steward took away their portion of the delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge, skill in all literature, and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king interviewed them. And amongst them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers who were in his realm. Thus, Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Amen. Amen. It is important, and I'll leave you in the capable hands of Pastor Randolph. He will tell you how long that period is, how long Daniel actually ruled, if you would, how many kings had to pass through his hands. This house, as I mentioned, has a blessing and has a grace, not only of teaching for the mayor of teaching, because anyone can teach. We are in a university after all. Teaching happens. But you see, teaching in this house is the air we breathe. Our songs are teaching. Our songs have literature in them. They have theology in them. That's what we do. We deliberately do so. Now, I'm not here to bring yet another teaching to you. I heard that I've got a grace of teaching. But I'm here to demand from you I'm here to require from you because much has been given to you. Amen. To whom much is given, much should be, must be required. It cannot be that you, who has been given so much, we give more. No. I'm here to demand things from you because it's only if I can prune out of you, you'll be able to bear more fruits. Amen. So, I've got more questions for you than answers. We're going back to Daniel chapter 1 for an important reason. To basically answer the first question that I'm going to pose, who gets to define you? You must appreciate the fact that based on where you are, somebody will define that you are a Durbanite because you are in Durban. And while you're in Durban, they say, no, but you're Durban North. No, you're Durban South. No, you're Durban Central. Somehow, the environment around you somehow has a way of defining who you are. And I'm asking, who gets to define you? Amen. We can be all from Gate, but who's your pastor? Those are Randolph's people. All these factors, they bring to us definition. They bring to us labels, if you would. And those labels carry with them both value and stigma. So, this simply means names equally matter. What you call your children matters. These boys' names are Daniel, Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah. And you'll understand in a minute why this matters. Because you see, Babylon, just like any other center, just like any other system, have their own priorities. They would like to have their people, their systems to work in a particular manner. There are rituals, if you would. There are things that we don't do that here. Yeah. And they are very systematic about it. Sometimes where we are, we may be haphazard about how we want things to happen, but Babylon was very systematic about it. Yeah. Funny enough, many corporations, many systems in the world have copied that system. That system has not changed. And hence it's important for you and I to open it up and review and say, what did they do? Maybe it will help us to understand what happened to us. Yeah. You see, the project in Daniel chapter 1, it was not just educational or administrative because there was a lot of administration there and there was a lot of training and education. It was not just that. I want to put to you, it was also theological. Many things that are part of us, they infiltrate and they make sense and they make into the stream of our lifeblood, which is our theology. Yeah. The reason Pastor Randolph worked so hard to change and make sure that not any song is sang in this church is because those songs, they make it through to our blood system. Yeah. They make it to our theology. We don't care what you dress like when you come to this church. You don't have to wear a tie. Don't worry. I'm the only one who can wear a tie. We don't care. We really don't care. Yeah. We only care that when we look at you, we see Christ. Amen. Amen. However, the Christ in me gives me common sense to dress modestly.
Yes. Amen.
It doesn't start from outside. No, it starts from within. Because this was not just an educational system that they have in place, or a training system, or just an administrative system, because these people were going to serve before the king. It was far more than that. They were not just looking for robots. They wanted the soul and the spirit of these people to be inactivated, to make sure that the guy who's serving you drink is not just smiling because you are a customer, but they embody the spirit of Babylon. They understood that it's not just, hi, good day, say, how are you? No. You can tell when somebody is just a waiter smiling to give you service because they want to get paid or they want a tip. Many of you would go to government buildings. You can finish the sentence. You know exactly what happens. But then, something in you stands out when you see a government official does their job, serves you, makes you proud to have been served by them, and makes you proud to belong to that particular municipality. Amen. And you know this person understood who they are. They embody this idea of what government look like. Amen. The dignity, the decorum of it. Babylonian system, often we criticize it, but today, let's open it up. And the goal of these boys were captured. Mind you, unlike you and I, we enter the systems voluntarily. We go to work because we want that company. We apply to that company. These boys did not have a choice. They were captured. They found themselves in an environment that they did not choose. But you don't hear them complain. You don't hear them moaning about it. But they get there. They excel. And allow me to tell you, when you excel in an environment, you don't have to have a title deed to own it. You own it.
Yes. Amen.
Many of us are enamored by the idea of owning things. What is ownership without influence?
Yeah.
Go ahead, own it.
Yeah.
We will control it and rule it for you. Who cares whose name is on the title deed? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom, let your will be, where? As it? How the kingdom of God is going to come on earth as it is in heaven when God is in heaven? Now, I know you may have heard this, but allow me, just in case you need to be reminded. I don't know where the devil is. No. I need to say, I don't know where Satan is. Do you know why I don't know? Because I don't care. And you know why I don't care? Because him and I have an understanding. Where I am, he has no place. Why? Because where I am, the kingdom of God. Because I'm here to do the will of the Father. So when we do the will of God, that's where the kingdom is. You need to declare, you need to make sure that your surrounding is where the will of God happens. And because that's where the will of God happens, that's where the kingdom of God is. Listen, let's practicalize this before I even go further. Your car, the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And because your car is the kingdom of God, when you get to a four-way stop, and somebody who has no decorum, who has no sense, who comes last but wants to leave first, when they want to do that, you don't lose your cool. Because that's a kingdom car.
Amen.
It's a kingdom car. Your moods are not going to be dictated to by somebody else. You don't know where they come from. Who knows? Maybe they are carrying the devil. You're carrying the kingdom of God. So in your car, no, in this space, you're not going to mess me up.
Amen.
Here. And I can declare this. If any of you walked in here sick, check yourself if you're still sick. No, I'm serious. The reason we don't make 5 hours altar calls anymore for sicknesses is because we know that sicknesses leave as the word comes down. Let's clarify these things, because we've been mentioned names. People have said things about us that we never said anything about us. I'm asking, who gets to define us? Allow me to, I don't know, Pastor Ronald, if they put the graph, no? It's going to be dismissed in the week. Okay, good. I thought maybe you have it up there. Now, listen to this. I understand that many of us, including myself, I preached fire down about the 4 men in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I wonder if I could speak from a South African point of view. I was in Chatsworth for the last 3 days, and in a missions conference, and they kind of, you know, brought in the early mission of how the Indian church in that space, you know, became. And one of the things that was mentioned was the name or a phrase that was given to Indians to dictate and to derogatively call them. Now, because I'm on camera, you know that word. Secondly, see, it's not to preach in South Africa. I just do actions and you understand. So now, because you know. Now, imagine if history is told about me. And instead of someone calling me Khotso, which by the way means peace, or call me casual, and they use that. Or instead of saying that Indian man, they say, oh, by the way, they all start with a K. Now, help me. So, I don't think I need to do more to tell you, you can no longer call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah.
Am I done?
Amen.
Here are their names. Because I don't know which Bible you read. Here are their names. Daniel has a meaning. Daniel means the Lord or God is my judge. The name Daniel speaks of the judgment of God, the righteousness of God. When he got to Babylon, they changed his name to say, you are going to be Belshazzar. That means you are here to protect the king, Marduk. I ask you, how does a name and a man whose destiny is to present the judgment of God, the righteousness of God, why is that so offensive? I know why. And for you to want to tame that and say, you, from now on, you're going to live in this environment and make sure that your job is just to protect the king. I want you to see what formation happens here. These names forms us. It was not lost on me, and I like the joke. It was not lost on me when I walked in here that, if we have to give different ministers, different churches, or different pastors names. So if there are many barns out there, you know what a barn is? You know what a barn is? Let's give it a 21st century name, maybe an investment. Or maybe a deposit, or you know, that's what a barn is. It's a place where you put your precious things there. This one is well. They are not getting it. It was not lost on me. It was not lost on me to think about the meanings in the names, the intentionality. But you see, they form us. They frame how we think. Note, if you will, instead of a name that represents accountability to God, we reduce him to a name that means service to the empire. Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. See, I told you I'm here to demand. So now I don't have to do this. You got us. Now see, Hananiah, that's a new name you don't know. It is, you know, Daniel. Hananiah is his name. When you call the other name, I'll do likewise, right? I won't mention the name. When you call the other name, he's a command of Aku, which was the moon god. When his name means grace or graciousness, Yahweh is gracious. The grace of God. That's his name. God, the fourth man, did not walk in there for Shadrach. He walked in there identifying men of grace that was put into the fire.
Yes, amen.
Note, if you will, how do you insult grace for control and obedience to the empire? Mishael, powerful name. They just change a few things. Because Mishael says, who is like God? Who is this God? In fact, he says, who is God? That's exactly like, wow, who is God? It's a wonder. And they're like, ha, how about we put that wonder to Aku, the moon god? Oh, what a wonderful moon. Who is Aku? What an insult. Yeah. And this happens in our culture, by the way, where we make things relative. Yeah, we relativize it. And the environment we live in has a nice way of doing it. Azariah, the Lord my helper. The Lord helped me. It is well because the Lord helped me. That's his name. And we're like, no, you must be servant of Nebu. Now imagine, they decided to get a God of wisdom and of writing. They said, no. That help that you bring, we're going to reduce it to simply this. Yeah. We are not our degrees.
Amen.
You didn't hear me?
Yeah.
We are not our titles.
Amen.
We are sons of God, and therefore you cannot reduce me to this.
Amen.
Our names means God's judgment. Our names means the grace of God. Our names means the wonder of God. Our names means the help of God. That's our names.
Amen.
That's what we represent. But the systems we work in has a way of trying to say, no. That's too theological. What isn't, I ask?
Yeah.
If this is clear to you, allow me then to say to you, because you understand that these names and your names matter.
Yeah.
And they mean something. And as a matter of fact, they are part of a theological conversation that we have daily.
Yes.
You see, we sometimes have to find, see, what is theology? By the way, what is theology? Theology is thus the best way we have to talk about God. It's the best language, the best paraphrase. When we engage with philosophy, theology simply means that we're going to try to help you understand in your philosophy, in your psychology, in your all the ologies you can find. We simply try to help you understand who God is. That's what it is. But that, my brothers and sisters, you do daily. Yes, I'm called a theologian because I have a degree in theology. But guess what? Theology belongs to the church.
Yeah.
We do theology every day. What you've done this morning, what you are doing right now, this theology in action.
Amen.
So that can't be left out of the conversation.
Yeah.
Now, if that is true, so help me understand. How then is it that you find it difficult to translate the following for me? You see, if you ask me, I don't need an explanation as to how did Mary give birth to the Son of God. No, I don't need explanation. I'm sorted. But you see, I may need, when I speak to somebody who understands things from a philosophical point of view, for me to put it down for them, to explain to them. That's how theology comes about. To help you understand how a virgin can give birth to a son. I don't need an explanation about Jonah. Because you see, by faith, I understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith, I understand. No, not by faith I believe. No, by faith I understand.
Amen. That's good.
So it's because of that that I need to engage with others textually, scientifically, technically.
Amen.
For them to understand that which I've already been made to understand. Because I understand this. Before there was Mary, there was God.
Amen.
And I understand that Eve and Adam didn't have belly buttons. Oh no. You guys, come on. Walk with me. I understand it.
Yeah.
And I understand everyone else after that had to have a belly button. I understand that. It's not difficult. Maybe this is a time for us to say, Lord, heal our imaginations and our understanding. I understand it. So it's clear that names encode theology. Yes, they affect memory. They affect identity. It is clear to us, must be clear to us, that they function as a portable of confession of faith. They translate something. So allow me then to tell you the following thing. Sometimes there's a need to rename others. And when we do so to try to interrupt a painful memory. To try to restore something that was badly done. I come from a church in Benoni. Now, if you know your Bible, you will know that is not a nice name.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for them to call it Benjamin. Your theology about yourself. What is a theology about yourself? What do you believe of yourself? What do you believe of God about yourself? I do not think that I never sinned, but I am not impressed with anyone wanting to tell me, oh, I'm a sinner. What are you still doing with sin? You know the song, I recently told somebody to change the song in the middle of the song. I know the Lord will make a way for me. You know the song? Yes, for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. You remember the song? It goes on. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. When they sing, I said, okay, thank you very much. But if you say if, when are you going to start living holy life? I appreciate what you're telling me because that's theological. That's right. If you do the right, if you shun the wrong and you do the right, definitely you can ask whatever you want, the Bible says, and it shall be given unto you. That's what John 15 says. When are you going to do it? So maybe it could be clear. I know the Lord has made a way, not will make a way, has made a way for me. For I live a holy life. It is well. Shun the wrong and I do the right. I know the Lord has made a way for me. Yes, for me. Now that's theology. What I've just done right now, that's theology. Don't let us bully you into systematic theology, practical theology. No, this is theology. Amen. We only call it systematic because we're trying to talk to those people who understand systems only. But you understand it all. Oh yes, you do systematic theology all the time. Amen. Oh, you do. Allow me then to say, because I have this privilege of understanding difficult concept of heavenly mandate, we understand these things. We understand them. We won't say, I don't know how to explain. No, no, we will come to your level. Explain them to you philosophically, theologically, systematically. We can do that for you. That's why we are here. We are on earth to bring heaven down, isn't it? As it is down in heaven, to bring it down. That's what we do. So at the robots or at that four-way stop, when you act differently, you're not a fool. You are showing the kingdom I represent is quite different than the one you carry. Quite often, have you noticed, if someone did that to you at the four-way stop, you leave that four-way stop upset? How? Why? And then you wonder why we have to cast out demons. No, you wonder why we have to pray evil things out of you, because you carry all sorts of hojas on the way. No, man, leave them. Bring light. Bring life. I mean, come on. Randolph is your pastor. So, let me explain how systems work. Particularly this system of Babylon. Somehow, when I read the scripture in chapter 1, I see a coordinated strategy that they put together. And one is educational. You see that clearly because they want to reframe knowledge. They want to own what is understood. They want to name things to say, this is how things are named here. In fact, for 3 years, don't serve me. Let's teach you how to serve me. So for 3 years, you are practicing, you are dreaming. Imagine whatever you learned, you're going to go dream about it. You're going to think about it. You're going to formalize yourself. For 3 years, that boy is walking, imagining, training his muscle on what he's going to do 3 years later. Yeah. Formation happens. Yeah. And isn't that exactly what we do when you finish matric? We want to take you to a school, teach you. In fact, we've done that from the day you were in grade one, by the way. We've been doing that. And that's why Sunday school is so important. So, it functions educationally through education. You see verse 4 clearly states it. And goes on. The other thing is, if I teach you but I don't provide for you, and if you are provided elsewhere, your loyalty will change.
Yeah.
You see, that's why John the Baptist walked in. John the Baptist walked in and he was not eating from the environment he was serving in. He was eating locust, wild honey. He was provided for by the environment that he needs to represent. Walk with me. Let's come back. So the system here makes sure that it provides you. Provision that reorientates both your taste buds, your desires, and your understanding of what good looks like. I joke, but maybe I'm not. Once you smell the spices in the curry, and you grow up in that space, you're never gonna go anywhere else and think anything else smells nice. Oh, no, no, no. I've taken some of my Indian guys with me somewhere else where I think the food was nice. They're like, I just wish I could put some spice there just to spice it up. Your taste buds. Forget the curry, but what you grew up eating. There's some people, their meat has salt and sugar in it. You cannot, I'm not mentioning names. You cannot tell those people anything else. What am I telling you about your taste buds? What am I telling you about what you eat? Should you have the unfortunate incident of ever leaving this church, wherever you will go, you will know what you are not having.
Yes.
Oh, you will know. We won't have to tell you. We won't even have to tell you. Are you missing us? We won't have to tell you that. Should you have a blessing of visiting, being in another town, that's a blessing now, or being in another city, you will know, Pastor, I miss this. I'm bringing to you, the third thing that I also notice is that naming redefines identity. These boys, they start walking the walls of Babylon as Shadrach, as Meshach, as Abednego. But the Bible says something powerful. Daniel, resolved in his heart, in himself, that he will not defile himself. He refused the food because, you see, somebody needs to hear this. You need to learn to starve yourself so that no one can starve you. You didn't hear me. You need to learn to starve yourself of things so that no one can threaten you about starving you with those things. If everything for you is a matter of life and death, you are easily bribable,
yeah,
easily deceivable, because everything for you must be given to you. By the time Paul says, no heaven, no earth, no demons, no angels, no heights or lows shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. By the time he says that, the man has learned, maybe the better word is, has learned to circumcise himself from the things.
Amen.
The sister asked a powerful question earlier. should you be arrested and we need to verify whether you really indeed are a son of God, will we find sustainable, convincing evidence that you are indeed son of God?
Yeah.
Or we will say, we are not so sure. The evidence is inconclusive.
Yeah.
I bring to you, you are son of God. Brothers and sisters, there is what I call a gradual assimilation that happens with these boys.
Yeah.
When they got there, the system was not saying, no, 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 swear, insult your God. No, 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 no. The system is much more cunning than that.
Yeah.
It's a gradual assimilation.
Yeah.
Here's a nice glass of wine. No, 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 no. It's okay, just one glass. Slowly, a glass becomes a bottle.
Yeah.
A bottle becomes an imagination of what 12 should taste like. It's a gradual assimilation.
Yeah.
Systems don't just abruptly control you. No, no, no. They didn't say anything. They said, you, oh, your name is What a God. Oh, wow. Aku, can you hear this? What Aku? Servant of God. Oh, Nebo, can you hear that? Yeah, you're going to be a good servant of Nebo, you.
Yeah.
Slowly, slow poison. Notice this. The devil is not here. We can talk about him, right? You know he's not here. Now check here. Whatever he cannot destroy, he dilutes. Some people don't have to be stopped to come to church.
Yeah.
No, no, no. Just make them come to church, but make them indifferent when they're in church.
Yeah.
Make them, keep them occupied with nonsense.
Yeah.
They're as good as not being here. Dilution. Sometimes people don't walk out of marriages by moving to the next door or to the next room. No. They walked out 10 years ago. Now, those are the tactics of the enemy. Oh, you came to the right church. You're going to put spotlights on everything.
Amen.
Let the light shine. If anything gets spotted, make a U-turn. You know how to repent, right? If we listen to God's word when it's preached, or at least when faith comes by hearing, and we repent at that point, listen, blessing doesn't come when your marriage is fully restored. Right now, as you hear what I just told you right now, and you make the right decision, right now, your marriage is restored. It is important for us to understand and not get used to. See, I told you about your pastor and about how your church is. I was not saying that to you so you can feel very proud of yourself. Well, maybe you do, but here's a point. That means much will be demanded from you. Well, you know the devil is not here, but when he meets you outside, I don't know where he's going to meet you. He will test you. Or he will test you. On what I've said and what was said before. I did not expect different. This man and the teachings regarding fast fruits, churches have been delivered to do excellently above all. Well, one would expect maybe he's speaking from abundance, isn't it? Maybe he's speaking from a high tower. No, 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 no. That word must test him. That word must test you.
Yes.
Allow me then to move on, and I want to tell you some more. Systems we live in They require you. It's an inside job. Remember that joke, that Krimora, it's not inside, it's on top. It's the other way around here. It's inside. It's not on top. What have you resolved to be? If you are a school teacher, that's a label they gave you, right? Is that who you are? Marketplace ministry. You are not what's defined of you there. Because if you start saying, no, I'm an auditor. No, pastor, you know, I listened to your sermon, but you see, as an auditor, shut up. Come on. Come on. Just because you learned a few things about audit, now you want to audit everything. Please. No, please. We train you to do that there, not here. Here, here's the thing. We already were auditing before you learned about audit. Yeah. We're already assessing things long before you could learn about assessing. We test things before they come here. Oh, no, 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 no. Before anyone come to preach here, they were assessed already. Oh, yes. There's scrutiny that happens. Sometimes over years. So don't let the world out there dictate to you and make you know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, only you, modern Christian, have resurrected those evil names. They never walked in the walls of Babylon thinking like they are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I know that to be true. Because if they thought of themselves like that, they would have eaten the food provided. They would have acted like the people that were acting like in that place. No, but they never did. I knew they knew who they were. Daniel walked in that place as Daniel. Otherwise, Daniel in the lion's den, he would have been meat, he would have been steak, he would have been biltong. But he walked in there as Daniel. He walked in the lion's den as Daniel. Mishael, Hananiah, Azariah, they walked into the fire as Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah. I know they put in there, they put in there Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach and Abednego could never make it through. So, when there's corruption at your workplace, that's how the system works, by the way. Many of you get shocked when you realize that this is how things have always been. Oh, no, no. I know South Africans are very funny. They think corruption is a new word, it's a new thing. No, man. It's because you were not exposed before, you're not allowed to before, and you are not. Listen, these things have been happening before. That's how governments function. But that's not how you function in that government. Amen. Big difference. That's how Babylon functions. I mean, how did Babylon bring Daniel into that city? They didn't ask them. They didn't say apply. They went and stole them and snatched them. Was unfair, yes. But that's the thing about conditions outside. They should not dictate your internal posture. Allow me to say this. This is now something separate. Many of you worry about when you're going to get promoted. You worry about what you must position yourself so that they can see you. That's how the world functions. That's what the world do. They say the right things before their bosses to make sure that the boss recognizes them, and they send the email at 2 o'clock in the morning. Come on. You are forgetting who you are working for. He who has appointed you, he who you are working for, does not need you to perform or do anything else. He knows your heart. He knows the mandate upon your life. You do what's right even when no one is watching. Especially when no one is watching. Your promotion will not come from that person. Listen, who said your promotion must be in that company? Your name is being spoken as I'm talking to you right now. Elsewhere where you don't know.
Hallelujah.
And that's how we function. Because you see, if you're not aware, when all you do is to please people, right, to try to please people, there's a very slight difference between that and manipulation. Now, you're about to hear me. Do you know the difference between manipulation and witchcraft? None. 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 There is no distinction between manipulation and witchcraft. In fact, when the book of Revelation says, outside the city shall be murderers, guess what? Witches are there. That means all those who are manipulators, you are out there. What is witchcraft? Witchcraft is me imposing my will on you and wanting to make sure that I become a god on you. What is manipulation? Manipulation, I want you to say, to do this. But I give you this so that you can do this. What's that? I'm dwelling too much on other things. And I know you need to discuss this in the week. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, they don't protest that their names are changed. I'm only casual as protesting their names change. They are not protesting it. They don't even withdraw from the system. They serve in that system. They don't even reject the learning and the teachings in Babylon. They serve and they excel. They become 10 times better than the best. Instead, what you see them doing, they anchor their identity internally. What you see them do, they negotiate boundaries selectively. They choose what to fight for. They demonstrate excellence within that system.
Amen.
They own it. Oh yes, they own it. You may not own the club if you play for a soccer, but man, if you are excellent, you own it.
Amen.
There are certain players whose names are bigger than the club. So, identity under pressure is what Babylon represents. That's how we function. That you are assigned to do this. The system calls you this. What do you do? Allow me then to tell you the following, and I'm going to run through. Pastor Ranulf, you'll help me. Here's two things. I know it's difficult to sustain certain things at work, discipline, when everyone else is doing it.
Yeah.
And I know you look like an enemy. You're saying, Caswell, you don't know. If I don't do it, I won't be invited to the next time they go out. I won't be invited to the presidential suites when they go out.
Yeah.
I understand all of that. We have to learn the art of disagreeing without being disagreeable. That's not compromise. That is maturity. And you need to learn to disagree without looking like a disagreement yourself. I disagree with how and what you do things, but I don't disagree with you as a person. If I walk to, if I get stopped by a policeman that apparently everybody knows is corrupt and he always wants bribe, I'm already shut up, already indicating that I'm not going to bribe you. I'm escalating that situation so quickly. He'll find something legitimately. It will take you behind bars. Now, how do you do it? You're not going to bribe. You're not going to do it. When you are there, he's representing the law. You greet him nicely. Don't talk down at him. You greet him nicely. Hello, sir, how are you? If it's madam, hello, madam, how are you? You know the next thing they're going to ask for your license. Oh, here's my license. You know he's going to look for something to catch you. You don't give anything you don't want to be caught about. If he says you are speeding, oh, he says so, okay. And you can see he has no camera to tell you you're speeding. Okay, sir. That's all I say. Okay. The ball is in his court. I'm not going to play that ball. It's not coming back my way. So what can I do? No, I was speeding. You stopped me. You say I was speeding. Let him resolve quickly. These guys have consciences. You know that? They realize, okay, I'm stooping to the wrong person here. Yeah. Oftentimes, I walk away from the stop. After 15 minutes, I'm thinking, why were we stopped again? My wife says, you fool. That guy was looking for a bribe. Like, oh, is that what he was looking for? To the pure, everything is pure. I just thought the guy was lonely, wanted to talk to me and talk. I just thought that it's boring on the road. That's what I thought. Oh, you're a pastor. Yes, I am. Learn to disagree with the systems without being disagreeable. I am not going to bribe anybody for anything. Even when I'm speeding, I'll tell him, I was speeding because I'm going somewhere. If there's a ticket for me, write for me. No, write it. Let me go. I'm not going to say I was not speeding. Of course I was speeding. I know. I can read. Gate Ministries in Durban. The Lord has done wonderful things through you. The Lord is yet to do wonderful things through you. You need to accept the fact that every word that has been given unto you, the message in this room, must be tested. You must embody it. Talking about marketplace ministry, you will be tested this week. You'll be tested this month. And as you are tested, may you be found worthy. When they test you, may they find you to be 10 times better than the best. May they find you guilty for being the Son of God.
Amen.
Allow me to say, you see, where we live, our world today, our success matrix are, we calculate them differently. You see, they come in terms of numbers, visibility, and influence and popularity. And it comes with the roles and the titles we are given and how relevant we are in some spaces. But do you see how simple and how similar these are to how Babylon functions?
Yeah.
Subtle. It's normalized. No one questions, what does it mean to be a CFO? MD. What does that mean? What does it invoke on you? I want to submit to you the following. Marketplace ministry, it should not even be marketplace ministry. We have to call it marketplace ministry to conscientize you that your pulpit, it's not just here. And we don't even have to fight for this pulpit. Put it this way. This pulpit has its owner. You see, sometimes I stand away from it. I know it belongs to somebody. I'm simply here as an echo to the voice that God has sent in this house. Now, guess what? We each have our own pulpits. And there's no contest as to who you are. And that's where you must rule and reign. If you get invited to this one, do justice to it. But at your work, at home, in your car, that's your pulpit. Rule there with dignity. If your job is to clean the streets, man, let the papers think twice about coming to where you cleaned. Do you know when God's blessings upon you, even the wind blows just right your way?
Amen.
Oh, no, 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 no. You're not hearing me. You know, on that good day, when the blessing of God, when it is well, even if a bird decided that today I'm going to drop my what over you, over your car, just because you pass there, it just holds itself and lets you pass. Then you know it is well with you. Oh no, I'm making this simple, but it is well with you.
Amen.
Gate Central, it is well.
Hallelujah. Amen.
May the Lord heal your mind,
yes,
your understanding, your imagination. Many of you have stopped imagining better things.
Yeah.
Pastor Randolph, as I step off, I need to put this. Thinking about tomorrow, thinking about Gate Central tomorrow, if you think about it and your imagination of Gate tomorrow still has you as its senior pastor, that picture is not tomorrow, it is still today. Let me broaden that. If you think about this church in the future, and you still see yourself in active control, making things happen, you are seeing today still.
Yeah.
Our best imagination, when our imaginations are healed, is if we can think of Gate when we are no longer in charge, when we're no longer making things happen,
yeah,
when we're thinking of other people we can't see yet. What will Gate Central look like when Pastor Randolph is not the senior pastor? Oh, you can't imagine that. Someone's like, far be it from that. Let it not happen. No, 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 no. He's your pastor now. God has sent him to you. He's going to be your pastor for a while. Don't worry. But I'm asking us to think thoughts of tomorrow.
Yeah.
The only way we can do that is if we are healed today. May the Lord heal our thoughts. May the Lord allow us to take into the marketplace wholesome human beings. Let's not bring Christ that is distorted.
Yes.
Shall we stand? I'll over to you. Thank you.
Amen. We thank God for his precious word to our hearts. Amen. Were you challenged and blessed? Thank you so much, Dr. Caswell, for dispensing of the truths of God's word with such grace and accuracy and so poignantly and penetratively. God has spoken to us in very clearly defined terms, and I want to encourage you to just open your hearts to receive the seeds of God's word, and don't allow any bird of the air to steal that which God has implanted into your spirits and minds today. Will you bow your heads in a word of prayer? God is most certainly preparing us for greater representation of his personhood within society, within workplace, environments, secular spaces, so-called. And we know that we will not allow those external contexts to define us internally, who we are in Christ Jesus. And I'm glad for this word that has come rooted within the context of Daniel. It is echoed, it is amplified, illustrated, some of the things we have already been speaking about. But I want to encourage you, this comes as a serious, not just reminder, endorsement, consolidation as to what God is presently emphasizing to this local house. And I, in the week, just prepared something on God raising people to prominence in specific marketplace environments. And I know that this is a word from the Lord. Gary, just quickly, I think it's Job 36, verse 7. Just look at the screen for one second, and we're going to pray. As Dr. Caswell was speaking, this verse, Pastor Thamo, our oversight in Christ apostolically, was re-echoing, and he kept quoting it even at our engagements with pastors, and he said the spirit of Ashpenaz, which you referenced in Daniel 1, is upon us. And his name means, Ashpenaz means, he who sprinkles the prominent. Tell your neighbor, you are the prominent. He who sprinkles the prominent. And the prominence is sons of God. Okay? You are the sons of God. And in tandem with that verse, the Ashpenaz principle, there is a sprinkling. Everyone do this? Just, you know, I love gestures. There's an anointing, if you would, an endowment of grace, a preparation that God is going to lift many of you up to prominence. He sprinkles the prominent. And then Pastor Thomo has been quoting this verse a lot in his recent sessions. Job 36, verse 7. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but with kings on the throne, he has seated them forever, and they are exalted. God's going to position Daniel and company within the context of kingly environments, with persons of influence that we can present Christ and the message of the gospel to people of high standing. And I've searched the scriptures this week to find every occasion of a prominent person whom God either spoke to or used. And I kept this word in my spirit. And when Dr. Caswell spoke on Daniel, I knew that God is preparing us for something very, very definitive. And we're probably going to probe the book of Daniel in the next few weeks and just open up and amplify. It was part of my plan to do this at some point within the series, but I think this is like a signal that this is the time. This is the time for it now. I want to encourage you, no lion will devour you when you adopt this disposition. No manufacturing of plots and schemes by others that are jealous of you within places of your influence will ever succeed against you. Daniel had to contend with an attempt by satraps to discount him. But he always just rose to prominence, because he was fully secured in an identity rooted in Christ, rooted in God, and he did not allow his environment to shape him. Everyone say formation, right? And I know God has got his own system of spiritual formation afoot within each of our lives. Amen. Just remind the person next to you, say, it is well. It is well. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you. And I just thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for the manner in which this word was disclosed to us through your servant. We bless you for your speaking. Thank you, O God, that we sense the preparation of the Lord. We sense the formation of the Lord. You are busy working your will and your work in us to perform. Your word says we must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works within us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And I ask God, even as we've heard, not to submit to the crafting and shaping of an identity external to you. But Father, today we want to commit to holding on to who you have made us to be in Christ Jesus as your sons. And I ask in Jesus' name, may each of us return to our marketplace environments in absolute strength, absolute focused, not allow the enemy to dilute who we are. We will not drink of the king's wine nor his delicacies and imbibe his philosophies, his ideologies, but we will remain committed to the truth of your word that shapes us and makes us strong in you. And so we receive grace, we receive empowerment, we receive encouragement in Jesus' name, and we thank you for your speaking today. Amen.